You're listening to DraftKings Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There are some things that I want to get to here, Stugatz. Maria Taylor went from one day being on ESPN to all of a sudden being in Tokyo and working for NBC. We want to get to that. And Billy has said, and I'm dying to know what this is, that he did something that he never thought he would do.
Wow.
And he thinks he would do it again, but he has left it mysterious.
It's true.
We will get to that in a second as well.
He went outside his comfort zone, which is rare for Billy, huh?
I actually got deeper into my comfort zone, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's something you didn't think you would ever do.
Correct.
Okay.
And, but the audience is eating this.
Yes, now you've done it and you think you're going to do it again. Bobby Portis is going to join us. Jessica, why are you confused?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yes, it's a big mystery. It's a bit of a tease. He's teasing all of us here. But the place that I wanted to start here was DeAndre Hopkins saying basically that he might quit, that he's questioning his future in the NFL because he's been forced into a position by the NFL that if he doesn't want to partake in the vaccine, he hurts his team. And there was a lot of uncomfortable vaccine conversation last week. I don't know if you read what I believe was an Alabama doctor was saying, because so many of the unvaccinated represent such a large portion of the people who are dying and getting sick and filling hospitals. It was a heartbreaking thing to see an Alabama doctor quoted the number of conversations that she is having with people when she is putting a tube in their throat that represents you are basically headed to hospice next. This is over. And at that point, they're asking for the vaccine and she is saying, no, it is too late. And then going out to console the loved ones and telling the loved ones, if you actually want to help with this, get vaccinated. Now, I understand we've talked about the Tuskegee experiment. We've talked about where and how Black Americans might have some discomforts about trusting the government on anything. And I don't want to talk here about impugning and denigrating the unvaccinated, because it's not simply that it's just all hateful anti-science, anti-vaxxers out there who aren't getting vaccinated. There are a number of different reasons that this is happening, and it can be as simple as somebody who can't have someone take off from work and take care of the kids to go get vaccinated because they're living paycheck to paycheck. And so I'm not interested in the conversation where we just lambast those who aren't getting vaccinated, even though I would tell everyone to get vaccinated. I think it's important to get vaccinated. And I get why you might have a distrust of science, the government, and vaccines that you don't know in 5 years if there's going to be side effects because you simply don't trust any of this. The thing I do want to talk about, though, is the NFL specifically saying to protect its business model that everyone will be vaccinated. And the situation that this puts DeAndre Hopkins is as a young athlete at the height of his prime who may not be at great risk with what this illness is and doesn't want to put anything foreign in his body for whatever the reasons are. He's not being as defiant about this as Cole Beasley is.
No.
He is saying, I'm questioning whether or not I have a future in the NFL. And your thoughts are what there?
Well, I mean, the NFL is kind of, it's a really difficult spot and really a smart play if you're the NFL and you want people to get, you want your players to be vaccinated. Two coaches had to leave their teams because they refused to get vaccinated. And so, Dan, you're doing it in the place where it would hurt the player the most. If you're not vaccinated, it could forfeit you a game. You might lose a game. You have to then talk to your teammates and say, hey, I'm the reason we lost this game. And what is football all about? It's about team. It's about the locker room. It's about being there. It's about playing through pain. It's about all doing what you have to do to win. And if there's a guy out there who's not willing to do what he has to do to just play, then I don't know how that goes over in the locker room. So the NFL has really put the players in a really tricky spot where they almost have to get vaccinated or else they have to leave.
The NFL will do whatever it has to do to protect the dollars. And in this case, it happens to fall on the right side of science. I'd be super curious which way they'd go with this if the protecting of the dollars went the wrong way on science, because the dollars are what get protected by the NFL, because Jerry Jones has to have that $225 million yacht.
And speaking of Jerry Jones, I actually thought the comments from Dak Prescott over the weekend were kind of most illuminating here, where they asked him about the vaccine. He goes, I don't want to talk about it, personal issue, and then inexplicably cites HIPAA after he asks questions about the massive injury that he got last year and is trying to recover from. The HIPAA excuse is ridiculous, but just say no, man. And I do kind of wonder if someone can artfully explain why they're not getting vaccinated, right? Because I think so far the messengers have been pretty terrible. But as you said, there was a good piece in The Atlantic from one of the best journalists covering the pandemic about why people aren't getting vaccinated. I read a really good piece in The New York Times about the 500,000 people who got vaccinated last week, meaning this vaccine's been ready and available. Why are you waiting until now? And it's anywhere from, as you mentioned, I haven't had time, I haven't been able to get off work, I've been waiting to see whether or not this would prove effective. I've been waiting to see, I didn't want to get it, but then a friend got it. And so, well, I guess I got to go get it now. So until it immediately surrounds you, you don't go and get it. There's reasons why, but they're not being artfully articulated right now. And the NFL is on the right side of history on this one. And they're trying to root out the coronavirus, and the Delta variant is penetrating people who are vaccinated. But at the same time, the NFL is not only, you mentioned forfeiting of a game, there's forfeiting of money. The team involved with, if a game has to be forfeited, the team involved with an unvaccinated breakout has to cover the losses. The players are at risk of losing their game checks, which you're a pro union guy. I don't know how the union lets that fly, but there's game checks that can be taken away from people who are unvaccinated.
Jerry Jones has made some like pretty pro-vaccine comments in the last weeks, though, about saying like he wanted the Cowboys to be a leader in the NFL with their vaccination rate. So I found Dak Prescott's comments to be a little contradictory and confusing, because like we all agree Jerry Jones runs the Cowboys. Do you think he's letting his star player, who he's paying the most money to, not get vaccinated?
Now, the reason why I find this whole week particularly interesting is there are major Republican figures now that are encouraging people to go get vaccinated. We talked about Sean Hannity last week. Jerry Jones, I hadn't seen those comments, is a known Republican. I saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's running for governor in Arkansas, was a former press secretary for Donald Trump, was encouraging people to go get the Trump vaccine, which was always kind of my thing, right? Is that this is one of Donald Trump's greatest achievements in theory. The vaccine was developed under his watch. Why isn't he encouraging people to go get the vaccine that he can take credit for when he runs again in a couple of years' time. But ultimately, like, I found the politics of this very interesting, that basically, in some respects, the Republican Party is not encouraging people to prevent their own death, right? And if anything, have gotten people to a point where they are more likely to die as a result of their rhetoric. And so I found interesting that all of a sudden, several months into the vaccine rollout, there's been a switch in the conversation. Now, a lot of people who are anti-vax or weren't going to get vaccinated are kind of left wondering, well, should I go get it now?
Is that just because the Delta variant had our worst day on Wall Street of the entire year that the entire conversation pivoted?
It's possible, but also I don't know if you guys have like been reading accounts of doctors and nurses working in hospitals in some parts of the country where their ICUs are completely full again and people are dying and the numbers are getting really scary. Even here in Florida, the numbers are really high again. And I think people who are unvaccinated may be feeling some of the fear that they had a year ago and thinking, if there's a way to prevent this from happening to me, maybe that's going to be the catalyst that gets them to go and get the vaccine.
And it's not just people dying. As Chris said, the voter base, they're dying.
Right, exactly. It might even be just a simple math game, which is if more of my
killing our voters.
Yeah, if more of our voters die than the other sides, we might lose the next election.
That's an awfully cynical way of looking at it, and I believe the most accurate way of looking at it is that's where we draw the line. Look, hate makes us power and money, and division makes us power and money, but voter fraud and voter suppression makes us power and money. But if we start actively killing our voters,
we need them.
We're going to have a hard time getting reelected.
I actually think Michael Irvin's comment about, he said, like, if the government wants you dead, we'd all be dead already. I thought that was very prescient because it's true. Like, the government actually wants to keep everyone alive so we can keep paying into our health insurance and keep giving the government our tax money. Like, they want to keep us pumping our blood pumping till the we're off. Well, okay, Roy, that's fair. But, like, I think Michael Irvin was onto something. That's all I'm saying.
Petered out there.
Twice. In the last two segments, she's fallen apart a couple of times. I don't know what's happening with her. Billy, let's
get... Cafecito.
Let's get to... You need cafecito?
I've only had three this morning, so I'm, like, running a little on low.
Billy, what is it that you did that you never thought you would do that you might do again?
Well, Dan, thanks for asking. So... The other day I was walking down the street and I think of myself as a rather thrifty person. You know, I find a quarter on the floor, I'll pick up a quarter. I find a penny, I'll pick up a penny. You know, a penny saves a penny earned. So walking down the street and I find something that you rarely see, Dan, a $20 bill on the floor.
Wow.
Walking down Ocean Drive on my way to the studio. And you know what I said? Going to keep walking. Not going to touch that. Mm. I don't know if there's poop under that. I don't know if this is glued to the floor. I don't know what's going on there, but I am not touching that. I don't have a glove. I'm not going to sterilize that. I'm not touching that $20 bill. And there's people who are behind me kind of cleaning the streets. I said, you know what? They can have that. They can find that. They want that. They can pick it up. I don't think I'm going to pick it up. Since this whole thing has started, Dan, I haven't picked up a cent from the floor.
You are just distrustful. You are distrustful that,
of everything.
Well, it sounds like you were thinking it might be a prank that someone put a $20 there. Like, why was it covering poop?
Well, I mean,
it's
why
on
does
South Beach?
Yeah, exactly. Why does anything happen on South Beach that happens on South Beach? I mean, the fact that there could be human or animal or any feces of any kind on money just stuck on the ground is not that crazy of an idea, right? And it's one of those things you don't want to figure out until, like, you can't figure that out until you've grabbed it and then. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's poop on my hand.
Did you consider it all a going to get Lysol and turning back around and, you know, spending $3 on Lysol so you would make $17 in profit?
There's still poop on it, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that if there is poop on it and then I spend the $3 or $4 on Lysol and then I spray it, then I'm out $4 or $5. And here's another thing that I need explained to me. Is there a shortage of, like, Frappuccinos that are prepackaged from Starbucks? Or is this just like a South Beach thing? Are we not stocking them anymore? CVS, no offense, I don't mean to call out a company, but I went into two different CVS's today just looking, and Dunkin' Donuts, don't get me started on them. But I start, and I'm looking at two different CVSs. They don't have any, like, iced coffee products of any kind that I could buy. It's just empty coolers. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they stock them later in the day. I can't believe that there's a rush, that those coolers are all empty. Does that make any sense?
Does this have anything to do with the $20, or it was just a disparate thought that you had?
Well, we were talking about going in and buying Lysol from a CVS, and I'm telling you that some of these shelves are barren. I don't know what's going on. I go to Dunkin' Donuts this morning, and they say cash only. Cash only. I don't have cash. I can't spend $2 on donuts. Cash only.
The 20. I mean, you would have had cash.
But it's poop 20.
Doesn't all money have poop on it?
Yes.
I don't want to think about that,
though. Doesn't everything have poop on it?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You mean toothbrushes and whatnot in the bathroom? Yes.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo. Does all money have poop on it at Le Batard Show?
If I were to buy a Twinkie that's been packaged, I don't believe there's any amount of poop on that.
Maybe the person who handled the packaging had some poop on their hands.
Do you think that the majority of people listening to this would walk past a $20
right
bill? I don't think anybody would.
No, I think they would right now with COVID, especially on South Beach. So you put South Beach, put that $20 bill on South Beach, they'll walk right past it. Then you sprinkle in COVID. I told you a while ago, I don't pick up golf balls on the golf course anymore because I'm worried about COVID. I'm serious.
Stugatz, we know by now that COVID doesn't live on surfaces like that.
I don't know that. No one knows
we
enough
do
about
know
it.
That.
Now, we thought it was over, and now there's this Delta variant, and it's not over. All right? No one knows anything about this
thing.
Because
a whole bunch of people were told to go gather in rooms even though they're not vaccinated, and they're spreading the coronavirus indoors.
We think.
Not on a golf ball.
When Fauci says I can pick up golf balls again, he hasn't said it yet.
He has said you can pick up golf balls.
He did not say it to me.
COVID does not live on surfaces. Well, okay, so you want us to get Anthony Fauci on the show,
yes,
and you can ask him,
yes,
whether or not you can touch a golf ball. Stugatz, you can touch a golf ball, you'll be fine.
So certain.
I did the look around too to see, like, anyone drop this $20? Should I alert someone? Hey, I think you dropped $20 here. Maybe you want to come get it? And I said, you know what? Better safe than sorry. Let me keep walking, survive in advance.
So was it a germ-based decision?
Yeah. Weren't you listening?
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah, and they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Don Lebatard.
Dan is getting to his microphone real quick. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate it. My apologies. I had to run out for a moment.
Stugatz.
Did you eat something?
I did. Yeah. I grabbed some turkey. Yeah. You can hear it in my mouth.
Yeah, you made it seem like you were doing something urgent and said you were just suffering.
I was doing something urgent. Yeah. I went upstairs and grabbed some turkey, and then I ran back down here. I'm sorry that I'm late. It's very unprofessional.
Why do you have an entire turkey leg in your pocket?
I do. I walk around here like it's like it's Disney World with one giant piece of turkey at all times.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Excited to have champion Bobby Portis with us. I don't imagine there's been a hell of a lot of sleep. I don't know how many sober bucks there are. But before we get to Bobby, and we seem to hear a smoke detector or a fire alarm beeping that needs a battery charge in his house. We're not totally sure. He doesn't hear it, but it reminded us of talking to Daniel Cormier, who had been trying to find out where that sound was coming from in his house and never could find it. Play that sound for us. Oh, no, you just have the sound itself.
I looked it up. I only have the sound effect itself. Yeah.
Okay, no, I want the sound of Daniel Cormier being confused by the sound. So if you hear the sound in Bobby Portis's house, oh, now he's leaving. He's going someplace else. Bobby, tell us what the last couple of days have been like for you guys. How much sleep is there, and how much of an emotional whirlwind has it been?
I'm not going to lie, like, the feeling of sacrificing the entire year, just all the COVID protocols we had to go through, being away from our families for an extended period of time, just all those things, and to get to the NBA Finals, to experience that with my family and my friends and my teammates, you know, that's one of, like, the best feelings ever. You know, when you first make it to the NBA, like, you don't really understand the journey that you're going to grow on in this league. You know, some guys come in high rated, you know, college guys, high school guys, and then you get to the league, you know, you have to suddenly find a niche and find a role to, you know, impact winning and help a team. And I'm just blessed to be in this position to even call myself a champ.
Are you still filled with rage that you got a technical foul for running excitedly along the sidelines?
I think it was money well spent, man. Money well spent, for sure. I had a blast, man. I had a fun time this year. I just started being myself, you know, as the season progressed, and my teammates knew that. And, you know, when I do things like that, energy plays, you know, just talking and being energetic, I think it just kind of puts a battery into my teammates and it just helps us all out. I can't believe I got a tick. I thought I played good defense, cut Crowder off twice, and I think he tripped over his own feet, and they called foul on me, but I seen the memes they got made of me doing that too, though. So that's pretty cool and funny.
How difficult was the decision to leave the Knicks and join the Bucks? What, take us through that decision?
So last summer, 2019 summer, I signed a 2-year deal with the Knicks. And second year was team option. They turned my team option down, and they tried to sign me back for a lesser deal. I was making around $15 million the year prior. They wanted to sign me for like a little lesser deal, you know, just to make some money work and things like that, because I didn't really have I had a cool year, but I didn't really have a good year. I decided to just come to the Bucks for less money and just have a chance on impact and winning and, you know, just getting my name back out there and just, you know, being on a winning culture, winning team. That's what it came down to me. And I think, yeah, it was a match made in heaven. Getting a chance to be on the team with guys that sacrifice and seeing what hard work can really do for a person. Having great coaches like Coach Bud and his staff, they really just believed in me and just really just let me be myself all year long. I just credit all of them for it. But, you know, the process was, it was kind of difficult because when you're 25 at the time and, you know, you really can't play basketball forever. You want to play at least 10 years. I want to play at least 15 years. You know, you need to make as much money as you can. And I turned out a lot of money to come, you know, be in this environment to hopefully win a championship. And, you know, we got it done.
So that was the decision. You mentioned $15 million the last year with the Knicks and then a Bucks deal of 2 years, $7.4 million. That had to sting, right? Making that decision is difficult when you're talking about those kinds of dollars.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. But at the same time, I knew how much work I had put in over the last season. I watched the bubble last year, and I saw some flaws that I thought I could fit with that team, and that's the start. If I ever got on a team like that with guys like Giannis and Chris, that can, you know, create for others, and, you know, I can play off those guys and things like that. Obviously, you know, when you in your profession, you want to make as much money as you can. But just me taking a year from, you know, making the type of dollars I wanted to spend to make and things like that. It was all worth it. I got a chance to get an NBA ring. I got a chance to experience winning, impact winning. I got a chance to be on the biggest stage in basketball. And just thought it was just, it was a match made in heaven for me. But, you know, going forward, you know, obviously I'm 26 now. I'm not getting any younger. So, you know, I don't know if that's a possibility anymore.
Bobby, you mentioned one of the best feelings ever, winning that NBA championship. I'm wondering, is it the best professional feeling you've had, or is there something else?
How could there be? He's played for
That and getting drafted, probably the top two. You know, when you first get drafted into the league, you know, you've been watching the drafts your entire life. I think everybody watches the draft, no matter who's in it. You're going to at least watch it and chime in because trades happen. You see teams clearing those space and things like that for other guys going into free agency right after the draft and all those things. So getting drafted is one of those close feelings to it. But winning the championship, having all my friends and family there, having my mom experience it, knowing that I grew up watching Kobe versus KG, you know, LeBron all those years versus the Warriors and, you know, so on and so on. And being able to be in the same position that those guys were to, you know, host Larry O'Brien and things like that. And all those things, just, I don't know, like those two experiences of my career so far are part of the top two. And it's a tough top two to pick from.
You emerged as a very popular player, perhaps the most popular player on that team. So I'm wondering, have you spent a dime anywhere in Milwaukee since you won the title?
Nah, I actually haven't. it's actually crazy. Like the journey, man, like from the year, like from us starting with no fans in December and January and February, and then getting like 200 fans in March the first week, and then they started doubling them and tripling them throughout the weeks. And for us to go from zero fans to 17,000 fans inside and 80,000 fans outside, and to be from where I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, I have guys cheering my name, Bobby, 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 like, I can't make that up. Like, that's a feeling I'll have forever. I can, you know, one day, you know, show my kids when I have kids and things like that. So it's been a blast, man, just to be a Buck and just to experience all the things that come with winning.
Did you absorb just the level, the height of Stugat sucking up there by calling you possibly the most popular Buck? Like,
chanting his name.
I mean, willing to say that you're popular and they love your energy. I'm willing to even say
it was, hey, Bobby. Giannis.
You were the second leading scorer right up until Middleton in the last game. Right up until Middleton got some cheap buckets late to make you not the second leading scorer in that game. But I think the popularity of Giannis is probably something that is a little bit larger than what Bobby is experiencing here, even though you're energy guy and fans love energy guy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you play in a small market, they kind of appreciate all the guys. I played in Chicago, I played in New York. Those type of, you know, markets and teams, organizations really want the big name guys, the splash guys, you know, it's the guy that can sell the box office tickets and things like that. But when you play for a small market team, they appreciate everybody. They appreciate the hard work that you do. They go to work every day and try to provide for their family just like you. So they appreciate your hard work when they go pay for a ticket to bring their kids to come watch you play. They want to just see you give it your all. And I just think that's where me and Milwaukee fit close at, just having the chance to go out there and be myself, bring energy to the game. You know, fans really support that and really love that. And it's a blue-collar city, and I'm a blue-collar player.
When Giannis, after winning the title, talked about team, talked about sticking together, doing it in the city you were drafted by, but with the organization you were drafted by, did you feel what I was feeling, that he was talking directly to Kevin Durant?
I don't know. No, Giannis is a different guy, man. I've been on teams with superstar players and things like that. But he's a different type of guy, man. He's a humble guy. He's selfless. He gives his all to the team. He puts his body on the line every night. He tries to play every game, doesn't not want to play, loves the game of basketball. You know, I think his biggest trait, man, is him being humble, man. You know, when you get to the level he's got to, you know, he's won two MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year. He even won the All-Star MVP this year and the Finals MVP. So His resume speaks for itself, but when you have that large of a fan base, that large of accolades and things like that, and to be who he is every day, selfless, you know, humble in everything he does, motivating guys, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, have another teammate, man. You know, he's the best teammate to have on your team that's pulling for you and riding for you. He puts confidence in his teammates, and he's just a joy to play with. He's fun to play with.
You think that he could eat 50 nugget minis? That's something that he can throw into the furnace as fuel of his body? You think he can eat that much?
So it was him, his girl, his son. I think they can eat 50 between those three.
Who is the least sober buck over the last 3 days?
The least sober, probably Chris Middleton and Drew, because they had the long flight to Tokyo like a couple of days after we won the championship. So I know they ain't drunk nothing at all, but they had to go right over there.
Take us with you here as you wander around. I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong. Have you been? You've been in Milwaukee through the parade. Are you now in Milwaukee? I want to know what it's like to be Bobby Portis right now, walking into a restaurant or a bar. Is it something where you simply are not? You're having free stuff thrown at you.
So we win the championship on Tuesday, and it's like your whole life kind of changes a little bit. Win the championship, biggest stage in basketball, 80,000 fans all over, fireworks going off, a lot of emotions. You know, just start thinking about the past and what you've been through to get to this point, to this moment, sharing with your family after the game on Tuesday night. Wednesday comes, I try to like relax a little bit because Tuesday night we were out all night after we won. Relax Wednesday. Thursday was the parade. And the parade was like, that was crazy. Like that feeling that you have, that you really, you know, made all these people proud. The fans of Milwaukee that's been fans for forever. They grew up there. That's their pride and joy. They love that team. And to have, 500,000 people at our parade, like that was like crazy, man. Like surreal. And then now I'm in Arkansas now, back at home, just relaxing. Got a big week this week. With a lot of decisions to make. So just trying to take it all in and just try to digress a little bit.
What kind of decisions?
You know, I have a player option coming up with the team. So I have to weigh some things out and things like that and see if some things really make sense.
So you don't know where you're going to be? I thought you were weighing just opportunities. I would imagine you would have a whole lot more opportunities than you did even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's early though in free agency. We're starting Sunday, so have to, you know, weigh some things out, see, you know, which team's going to turn down team options and things like that, see which team I really fit on. And if I really like, you know, want to run it back with the Bucks. So don't really know what's going to happen right now. Just taking some time off with my family and my little brothers, hanging out with them, trying to get my mind, you know, off all that right now and get back to it in a couple of days. But obviously, you know, we don't have, you know, a lot of time to play this game of basketball. We want to make the most money we can to, you know, build generational wealth for our kids, our families down the line. And, you know, that's one of the big decisions that I really have to make.
Sounds like you're leaving.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like you're getting paid, Bobby.
Generational wealth is not the contract you're presently under. That is, it's wealth, but it's not generational wealth. Let's play for Bobby Portis some sound of Amin Alhassan analyzing this series when the Bucks came back to Milwaukee down 0-2.
And to be honest with you, Dan, I have zero confidence that the Bucks can win a game.
Really?
You have zero confidence?
What in their history gives us the confidence that they'll make adjustments? They don't do that.
Wow.
They don't do that. And the Suns are outplaying them in every facet of the game.
I'm not going to lie, though. Like, previously in years, like, the rosters, like, no shade or anything, but, like, the rosters that was in place that the Bucks had didn't allow them to do the things that our roster could do. Like, we had versatile players on the defensive end. We had different guys on offensive end that can go for 20 points every night. So I just think the teams was just totally different. Like our team was, you know, probably like our team came in third place, obviously, in the East this year. But we had some games where we just tried to do different things to try to see if it worked for us. So it was just a different year overall. So, you know, when we got down 2-0 against Brooklyn, we got down 2-0 against the Suns, like the whole world was counting us out. But we all knew what we had in us. We knew, you know, we just played our style of basketball. Then, you know, it's always going to be tough on the opposing team.
But Amin's a jackass, no?
Huh?
Amin, he's a jackass. The guy who said you couldn't adjust and all that.
He also said it was one of the worst finals teams ever.
Yeah.
You were one of the worst finals teams ever.
Yeah, a lot of people said, like, we were one of the dumbest teams in finals history. I saw all that. So, you know, that's their personal opinions. But when they look up the 2021 champions, you know, that's written in stone forever. All our names are tied together forever, and you can't take that from us. We went out there and earned 4 wins in the finals. It wasn't easy either. Some games the refs didn't want to give it to us. We knew that, but we had to go take it. You know, game 5 on the road in Phoenix, nobody expected us to win. Game 5, we went down there. We got down big early. We fought back, and we stuck together, and we fought through adversity. So, you know, we're the champs, and you can't take that from us.
Anyone on the Suns you despise? You enjoyed smiling at Chris Paul when he was barking at your belly button. Is there anyone on that team that you have some extra bad feelings for after that series?
Nah, not for real. Campaign, like my homie. Campaign and Torrey. I played on the team with those guys. Etwan Moore, too. You know, Devin Booker, I've been playing against him since we were like 17, 16 years old. So. We have a 10-year-plus relationship going against one another. He beat me in the SEC championship, too, when he was a freshman. I was a sophomore. We played for Kentucky, too, so that kind of felt good, you know, beating him in the finals. But me and Jay Crowder always went at it my whole career. My second year in the league, we made the playoffs with the Bulls. He played for the Celtics at the time. And then we kind of went at it then, too, so it's kind of fun to go at it with him again, too. He's a competitor. He brings it every day, and it's fun playing because guys like that.
Chris Paul should have shook your hand, though, right? Yeah.
Probably so, but I don't really care about that.
Right. Your backyard sounds lovely.
It's amazing.
It sounds like you have arrived in actual heaven here, not just basketball heaven, but you just sound like
little
you're in a very tranquil, peaceful, happiest time of your life type of place.
Yeah, The birds are really chirping this morning. I don't know what's gotten into them. They're doing it more than normal, actually. I haven't been here in months since March. This is my, third day here, being here. So they are going, you know, pretty crazy right now outside.
You have a clothing line called Underdog, and you've mentioned where you're from here a couple of times. So what do you regard as the most improbable parts of your story?
One, just having a mom that never complained, having a mom that had 4 kids, had to take care of them as a single mom, never wavered, always stayed down, never got down on herself. Obviously, times always got tough. And she had help along the way, but, you know, she always just tried to give us the best she could and provide. Never had to worry about eating and things like that. You know, moved around a lot as a kid, but always wanted the best. She always wanted the best for us. I just think my mom, as a kid, showed me how to work hard, showed me, you know, what hard work really does for a person. When they work hard, they reap all the rewards. That instance. You know, when I was in high school, you know, I started like 17 games in my 10th grade year on the varsity team, like for the rest of the year. I kind of got benched a little bit for like the upperclassmen of the seniors and stuff. And I won 4 state championships in that year. You know, I didn't really have an impact in this championship game. And I kind of cried a little bit because I wanted to like win so bad and have an impact on winning. I've just always been a competitor, and I cried on the way home. My mom asked me what's wrong with me, and she told me, I told her what was wrong. She told me I need to start working harder on my craft and things like that, start dedicating more. And those words always stick with me when times get hard, when things get rocky, when adversity hits. I always think of my mom saying that my 10th grade year, because that's what really turned the corner for me. You know, that summer, I really started working harder in the spring, and I just kind of took off. And basketball rank is my exposure, you know, went through the roof, and, you know, God started noticing me more.
From there, you were Arkansas Mr. Basketball, first team parade All-American, McDonald's All-American, SEC All-Freshman team, second team All-SEC, first team All-SEC, SEC Player of the Year in 2015. So when you are enjoying the fruits of that journey and the emotions of that journey, who did you share it with that moved you the most among the experiences that you had immediately after winning the championship?
I just think the journey, man, like, my mom's always been my number one fan. So just having her there, having her experience, just everything that we went through, our whole lives, just ups and downs, moving from place to place. You know, my mom missing out on AAU games that she wanted to come to because she had to work to take care of me and my little brothers. Her missing out on my high school game because she had to work and things like that. And her finally being able to be at almost every one of my playoff games, her not having to work. And, you know, her just being there in the building to see her son grow as a man, grow as a player, see me succeed in my profession. I think that's the most sweetest part of it all for me, just having her there every step of the way and knowing that, you know, she has my back through the highs and the lows. And, you know, I finally, you know, got to a point in my career where I can, you know, where, like, I know my role, I know my niche now, and it's kind of easier. And, you know, that's why I'm at peace now. Being at home the last 10 months last year really helped me find that peace and helped me get to the point where I'm at now, that nothing really bothers me anymore. The highs and the lows don't really bother me. I'm just an even keel now. And sharing that moment with my family was just probably like the best moment the last couple of days.
Bobby, thank you for joining us and congratulations. We appreciate your time. Happy for you. It was fun to watch.
I really appreciate you guys for real, for having me on. I'd like to come on some more, man.
All right. All right.
Thank you, Bobby.
We will do that. Thank you, sir.
Tomorrow?
You got to give us all the stories about Giannis being a real asshole, though. Like, there's so many times that Giannis was just an extraordinary jerk. Thank you for being on with us, sir.
Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thank
good
you,
talking
Bobby.
To you. And I will now get for you the sound that Whittingham was supposed to play about Daniel Cormier sort of swatting at the fire alarm smoke detector in his house that he couldn't find.
I don't hear it. Like, everybody goes, dude, fix it.
There it is.
It just happened.
There it is. People write me. Totally not worth it. Thank you, Bobby. We appreciate it.
That's crazy.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.